We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And with me today, we have producer and co-founder, Mr. Brian Goines.
I won't play any more loud noises in the beginning.
Good job, Brian. Brian's learning. We have our Heat Twitter president, Alf.
Whatever.
Sobered up. We have our own Heat Beat insider, Saucy Nuggets, Mr. Lefty Leaf.
I think I'd rather be the Sixers.
Oh, my God. Oh, a punch to start the show.
What?
And we have our statistician and pun master, Nikias Duncan.
How you doing, sir?
We are, we're okay. Last night, or yesterday afternoon, the Heat played the Sixers. And I think yesterday was kind of, there's always the cliche of the NBA playoffs. Like, there comes a point in the series where, like, the other team, like, outbetters you. And then everyone knows, like, oh, that team's better. I think that was kind of yesterday. When Miami got the 26th turnover game and Philly shot, what was it, like 26% from three or something on like 30 attempts, because boy, did they get him up. like that was the gut punch. And I'm curious, really, Nick, I guess I want to go to Leif first, but like, to me, like, kind of they survived the third quarter. Like, and I think we were all worried going into the third quarter, like, this is it. This is where it always falls apart. And it was kind of the beginning of the fourth, where like everyone ran out of gas. And to me, it seemed like a fatigue thing, because like Miami has not been able to rely on Ellington or Tyler Johnson for pretty much anything. And I think that really like puts a lot of pressure on the other guards, and Goran and Dwayne specific. Like, Dwayne looked like gassed, like in the beginning of that fourth quarter. Like, he was like legit useless, like in a way that like it seemed to be of exhaustion. So I don't know.
I feel like the fourth quarter was, it just shows you that ultimately this team lacks talent and they lack that closer, you know, that player that can generate offense. You just dump the ball into them. And then when the game slows down, and I know that game didn't really slow down as much, but just having a player that can create their own shot and do it for 48 minutes is something that this team doesn't have. Goran tends to get swallowed up late, it appears. You know, he's playing great, so, you know, hats off to him. It's not his fault, but he's just not a guy that's going to necessarily dominate late in games, and I think that's evident now. And, yeah, I mean, that game, for me, shows that Philadelphia is clearly more talented, and they got a long way to go. So, I mean, it's kind of a – it's a we were humbled. Let's just put it that way.
But Leif, like at the like, if we're talking like real talk, at the end of the game is where they got the offense. Like right, like you were talking about like late in games. Like late in games, they went to Dwayne, and Dwayne was producing buckets and good buckets. He had an and one at the rim. He had shots in the paint. Like and Miami was generating at the end of the game. Like what we're actually talking about, Miami was able to generate pretty decent shots against an elite defense.
And it still wasn't enough.
But where
it just wasn't enough.
But where it went wasn't late in the game. It was like early fourth quarter when it was just like there was just they had nothing. And
I think that's what Leif is talking about. There's not enough consistent firepower on this team. I mean,
they don't have a sure thing.
They missed 12 free throws, right? And they lost by four. Yeah, this team is going to scrape by, and it's going to – I mean, they could have pulled out a 2-3-point win if they made some more free throws, if some of that crap was called, like that that screen on – that Embiid screen when J.J. Redick got open. But at the end of the day, it's like I was always saying when it came to these matchups, I wanted the Cavs or I wanted the Sixers because the Heat just – this team just isn't that good. So I'd rather have the more compelling series. And that, yes, this has been a very compelling series, whether it ends 4-1, 4-2, however it ends. It's been a very compelling. This is better than getting beat down by Boston or even a close series to Boston. I think.
Are we sure?
The spotlight has been on this series, and I think it's been fun.
Guys, I don't know if you want to jump in because you haven't said anything to start.
Well, I don't know. Like, I'm just not surprised.
I don't think anyone is though. Like, and I was giving Ethan Skolnick. By the way, we are part of the Five Reasons Podcast Network. Forgot to mention that. So please check out all the stuff at Five Reasons Podcast Network. We'll put all that link and stuff in the description and everything. But I was giving Ethan shit earlier. Ethan Skolnick shit because he was saying how you know people are trying to act surprised, and I go, Ethan, I don't think anybody was surprised. I mean, this team had a zero net rating, you know, by the end of the year. About like, I think this is who they are. I don't think anyone's surprised.
Yeah, I mean, the last game was definitely frustrating just because you finally got the high turnover game from Philly, and if you can't capitalize on something like that, I don't see where do you build hope. You know, I don't want to be too negative, but I'm just like,
yeah, Embiid didn't play well.
That was the game. They had to have that game. Embiid didn't play well.
Hassan played, I think, for all the foul trouble and all this shit. I mean, Hassan kind of played Embiid almost to a push. I mean, that's what you want.
I think the only place you can find any kind of where you can find surprise is how much more composed they are down the stretch than the Heat are. I don't think anybody thought that was going to be the case, right? I think we thought like if we can get it to a close game within the last 2-3 minutes that the Heat had the grit and the kind of guys that can tough it out. We didn't think this young Philly team could do that, but it's been the exact opposite. Even the game we won, Philly was the one coming back and making that a game where we haven't really had that. I mean, outside of heroics from Dwayne, I mean. Really, the only two games where we were close or we won is heroics from Dwayne. And, like, man, if that's what you're counting on, it's a 4-1 series.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, Smith has been completely unfazed through all of this.
I'm impressed by Philly's talent. And I know I've been one that pokes a lot of fun at them, but you got to tip your hat to those cats. I mean, they're really playing well, they're poised. And I kind of looked at this series this way. We were either going to get through this series or push it to 7, and it was going to be classified as a fun year with a team that, you know, you didn't really expect much from, but they still, you know, fought hard in the playoffs. Or it's going to expose exactly what needs to happen in the offseason to change the roster. So there's going to be some evolution in what we see the team look like. So either way, for me, from that perspective, I feel like we're getting to a place where we're going to get closer to being a contender. And this is just one of them lumps you got to take. And it's not fun when Philly is flexing their muscles on you and they're 10 years younger at every position.
I kind of
they have cap space and draft picks.
And they have assets. I think the interesting part is how well they've responded to the physicality. Like, Miami's kind of made the series the way they want to play it. I mean, it's kind of a street fight. And when you're a better team, you don't want it to be that. Like, if you're the better team, you don't want multiple incidents of breaking up fights, right? Like, you want it to be like when we had the big three, like, we, that's not what we wanted to play. We just wanted to finesse the hell out of you and flying death machine and, you know, Cobra bleep and all that stuff. But Miami has done the stuff. Miami has made this scrappy, has made them physical, has gotten in their heads, like, you know, in terms of the physicality of the series. And all that to say, Miami is the one that has two players hurt. Like, Day Rich and Tyler and Philly, despite all the physicality from Miami, and they're playing that Pat Riley foul you on every damn possession, can't call them all defense. Like, it's Philly the one that has, the young players have responded. I mean, that's, I think that's the thing that's most impressed me, that the, through the physicality, like a guy like Ben Simmons. And Nikias, maybe you can help bring light to this. I don't understand why Miami doesn't go out of their way to make Simmons a scorer. Like, I think he's killing you in so many, like Ilyasova and Saric, and I mean, I guess Redick will get his own shot, but like those other guys are like Simmons gets them going, and like he's like throwing you the triple double every day. Why are they not like, hey dude, if you want to score 30, dude, go ahead, do it. I bet you won't finish that many times.
I think you just don't want him to build confidence. But I'm thinking back to game three.
You don't think he's confident now?
No, he's definitely confident now. I'm just saying you don't want to improve that. But I think the game where he... No, excuse me. That was the game two when Miami finally won and made him more of a scorer. He scores 24 and he actually shot well from the free throw line. And that's like the one thing that you kind of want to key in on. If, right, if he's beating you, hack him, send him to the line and hope he misses. But you made him a scorer and, you know, he still played extremely well.
I mean...
I do think one adjustment Miami might want to make. Maybe they do want to go a little smaller.
Free Rodney?
Try Josh, give him a heavier dosage of Josh Richardson if he's okay. Force bait Ben Simmons into posting you up, because that's probably the weak point, because he's not going to take jumpers. So kind of forcing him into those little flicks around the rim and hoping he misses. He hasn't been that good on the block. So maybe that's something that can try to key in. But
we need more Babbitt.
We need to hashtag free Rodney. Honestly, like...
I'm not sure why he's not
playing. Nikias made a point. If Tyler's hurt, like... Okay, before, whatever. But, like, at this point, Tyler's, like, legit hurt, and he's, like, been, like, a disaster. Put some size in.
Getting schooled by J.J. Redick. What is going on?
I don't want to say I told you so.
Oh, shut up.
No, but, like, no, legit, I mean, I think, and to me, more, I get the frustration with Hassan, and I'm sure we're going to get into that heavy later. The guard play from Tyler and Ellington has been disastrous.
Terrible.
And like, so bad. Game three, Dwayne and Ellington combined for like 3 of 15 with like 5 turnovers. Like, that can't, like, you're not going to win. You can't win when your guards, their guard play has been so bad, other than outside of Goran, like, and Dwayne and spots. It's crazy. How can they win?
Jarrett in spots has been pretty good. I mean, last game, he started to show that.
I think offensively,
he's at least spacing the floor, which is what you need for his offensive flow.
Which sucks that he got hurt, because you kind of feel like he was finally getting in an offensive rhythm. He had struggled a lot, and then that happens, because he's been probably their best defender in the series.
He had 7 steals in the last game. Holy shit.
I mean, but I don't want to play that. I think that's more of a product of Philly was just turning the ball over, and that was kind of like the floodgates had opened, because, I mean, didn't Dwayne have 4 or something? But, like, and Miami's really breaching. Nikias and I were talking pre-show, like, because Miami's playing the super foully basketball, like, they're just, like, hitting the shit out of the Sixers all the time, it kind of gives Dwayne a little leeway to reach in more than usual, which has really helped his defense, because he's not keeping up with his feet anymore, so he can reach, poke the ball, kind of get away with those little ticky-tack touches that they might call other times, but because the physicality of the game has been ramped up, he's kind of allowed this kind of, like, foul leeway where he can poke more, and that's helped him a lot, I think.
I miss Deion Waiters.
Wow. Okay, you and Tony Fiorentino.
Deion would have saved us.
I don't think this would have been a good series for Deion, because Deion is small and size.
Of course, it was a joke. Of course, it wouldn't be a good series.
Oh no, but there are people doing that on Twitter.
Basketball.
We need a little bit of that irrational confidence, but defensively, it wouldn't have worked.
Dwayne has enough of that.
That is true. Justice, I mean, played 20 minutes. You look at his box score. This is why you shouldn't be a box score watcher, because you would never look and see that box score and then realize what kind of impact he had on the game. Like, I was expecting to click on it and see 14 and 9 rebounds and 7 assists and 2 steals, and it's more like 7 points and, you know, a handful of rebounds. But he was all over the place. I mean, if we're going to take something positive out of this, Josh, Justice, those guys are players.
Playoff performers.
Bam showed spots. Yeah.
That was the only good game I thought Bam played, because I thought Bam was actually as much of a problem as Hassan was, because, like, and not really the Embiid stuff, because he did a better job than Hassan at fighting Embiid for position in game 3, but it was just like in every other coverage, like, Saric gets open, Ilyasova gets open, and he has his back to, like, the shooter, and he's like, what the hell happened? Which is, listen, that's fine. I mean, he's a young rookie. That's going to happen. This is a playoff series, and they're probably specifically game planning to kind of, like, trap him in those situations. So, totally okay, but...
I mean, I felt like Bam playing so well kind of kept Olynyk out the game, which I don't think was a great idea.
I didn't think he was playing well either, and they needed stops. Like,
yeah, I get it, Bam, but without him, that offense sometimes looks like crap. I mean...
I'm just not sure, to that point, why we didn't see more Olynyk in the fourth, especially when Miami started playing possession basketball. Like, they had Hassan out there on offensive possessions. I'm just like, I get trusting him and he played well, but, you know, you're down 3.
Did you see how quick?
Yeah, you needed Olynyk. You needed Olynyk there. I mean, I'm not going to do this whole second guessing thing. Like I said, if they make 5 more free throws instead of missing 2, I mean, they miss almost half their free throws.
Listen, if Dwayne makes that free throw, we might be having a different show right now. I mean, Dwayne went 1 of 2 in the most obvious 1 of 2 situation I've ever seen.
It does not change the fact of what this team is. Whether the series is 4-1, whether they come back and win 3 straight, it doesn't change the fact of what the team is. Like, we're watching them and we're seeing what they are. And what they are is a team, like Leif said at the beginning, who lacks superstars. We can have fun and we can enjoy. Like, I enjoyed the hell out of the team this year. Don't get me wrong.
I hated this team.
I'm going to enjoy the next few games. Like,
but yesterday was fun. We all hated this team. Right?
During the trade deadline, we were all hating the team until Dwayne came.
Listen, this team, and I have a column coming out after the show drops about how I hated this team for most of the year. I mean, they were losing to the Knicks and the Kings at home. Like, they were annoying. There was a play for the 3 seed, for sole possession of the 3 seed over the Cavs, that they ISO'd James Johnson for the game. And, like, that was this damn team. And I hated them. And didn't even get the shot yesterday.
I mean, yeah, he didn't get the shot up.
They are fighting, clawing, scratching, doing everything, every cliche in the book to get back in that game. And they did. And I was thinking, how do I love this team? Because I hated them. And now I'm like, I'm ride or die with this group. Like, I love this group.
It's the culture.
It's, dude, I am inhaling this propagated culture. Like, give it into my lungs.
None of us are in love with this team enough to run it back next year.
Oh, God, no. Like, yo, I've rethunk my whole Ellington experience. Like, I was the biggest Wayne fan, and I'm like, maybe we don't really want to keep him.
I want Justice. Discounted.
No, hold on, wait.
Justice, J. Rich, Bam.
I know we're on. I know Chris Whittingham has joked, like, Pat Riley is going to be waiting with a 4-year extension for Justice. But, yo, if this at the rim stuff with Justice is for real, that's game changer.
You got to lock him up.
He needs to start next year.
No, like, I, like, legitimately, like, I think he has been the second best player in this series for Miami. I think after Goran, I think it's been Justice. And Dwayne's probably third. But, like, he's shooting so confidently. Like, before, when he would take those little break threes, like, anything that wasn't in the corner, he always had a hesitation. He's catching it and going up, letting it fly, shooting confident. Because the jumper looks good.
Yeah, man hit a pull-up 3.
Dude! My dog, Justin, he's growing up before our eyes!
I'm just like, who is this? Justin's heat checking on purpose?
Yo, like, offensive machine!
He's becoming Ron Artest.
Dude!
He's becoming Ron Artest.
Dude, let me tell you. If we remember this series for anything as Heat fans, it is the Justice Winslow coming out party. Because, like, the BAN, the stepping on the goggles, the mask or whatever, him, like, dude, he is feisty. He's
the blood on his face.
He turned into a goon.
Justice is like, I'm like, is Justice my second favorite Heat player right now? Like, what's going on here? Like, I'm about this Justice Winslow.
He already has his own moments, T, now.
I mean, you know, it's funny that happened and we were all doing it. And I was like, dog, this is a first round series and we're the 60th. This is a little lame to make a moments shirt. But whatever, yo, I was like,
But do you remember the game that you, what game it was that UD was bleeding in?
It was game six of the Eastern Conference Finals.
But it doesn't matter. It's just the fact that it's a bloody UD. Like, nobody cares. Like, you're the only weirdo who knows what game that's from.
Nikias, did you know what game? I hope I'm wrong. That'd be funny if it was in game six.
I did not know which game that was from.
I knew it was against Indiana.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, but I didn't know.
I don't even know if it was a Chris Bosh game or not. Was Chris Bosh? I don't know. Whatever. I'm not going to sink the show into
let those Heat fans.
So yeah. The important thing is, once you start getting bogged down in these details, you see what happens to the show.
Exactly.
Same thing when you get bogged down in the details of the Justice Moment shirt. Okay.
Yes. You know, you're right. I killed it. Yeah. But Justice better. We have to talk about Hassan, because I did think he responded. Right. We like Hassan on this show. I think, right? I think, except for Leif. I think we want Hassan to succeed, and we're really hard
Leif,
on him.
Wait. Don't mischaracterize. I think Leif wants him to succeed as well.
Correct.
Leif just knows he won't.
Correct. Yeah. I've had enough of the facade of Hassan, but I want him to succeed, and I like him as a person. I've never met him, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't wish any ill will on him, but you know, this run is over with, and honestly, like, if you look at this roster top to bottom, I know that we need Goran scoring. Like, it's obvious that his 20 points have came in handy in this series. Without it, where would we be? But when you see Josh and Justice handling and JJ handling, you think about Deion coming back healthy, maybe Dwayne for another year. I mean, I think you really have to look long and hard at what you can get for Goran Dragic this summer. And I know we've alluded to this on past shows, but I mean, if you're not going to cash in on him now, you're basically saying we're riding with Goran until the wheels fall off of him. And I just don't know how smart that is going forward.
Listen. Yeah, he's got to go.
Like, I know, but he's so fun.
No, I love him. But I mean, like, this is one of those things when you're just looking roster building. I just don't know how you can
Leif,
hold on to
is him. Goran Dragic a Heat lifer?
In our hearts, yes.
No, but like, because like my thing with Goran is like, if we want to talk about like culture guys, man,
he ain't better than Timmy. He's so let's just get
that guy cares. So he plays so damn hard. He cares. He's like, he's into it. He Goran's about the culture, dude. Goran's about this. When he yelled in Simmons' face, yo, when he dunked, I call that on the Heatbeat account. I was like, Goran's gonna dunk this playoff season. Like, he's at some point, because Goran ain't like these people either, dude. Goran's out here getting steals. I was like, on one of these little fast breaks, he's gotten a few of them. He's just gonna go up and he's gonna dunk, and it's gonna be awesome.
I just have this vision of, because like, you see him in this series, and there are moments, stretches throughout the game where they put length on him, and he has trouble getting his shot off. He looks mechanical with the way that he moves toward the basket. He can't get around players. He's trying to, you know, get really crafty, which he is crafty.
I think he's done a good job of that this series, though. I think he's really get creative.
The minute that the athleticism or any little bit of that goes, it's going to be a really tough thing to get big buckets out of Goran going forward. He's going to just have to be a crafty player, and he ain't Steve Nash. So, like, as much as I want to do the sentimental thing with him, and that came out really, really bad just now. You know, I just feel like they got to look if they can get a draft pick and another player. I just think it's something to explore.
I mean, I
was going to ask Nikias, what do you think Goran Dragic's value is at this point? Because I like Nikias' positioning on where he can probably get some picks down the road.
I don't think they can get a first round.
It depends. Like, the only somewhat good team that I could see maybe wanting to part with a first for Goran, maybe San Antonio and like Indy before Darren Collison almost went 50-40-90 this year. So, like, it would have to be a veteran team. I don't think a young team is going to be looking for a stopgap like that.
Maybe the Lakers, if they do get LeBron and Paul George, maybe they might need... Huh?
For Goran?
Well, I'm saying that, like, if they have to move guys like Lonzo or whatever to kind of make some of the cap work, Like if Lou, you know, if they gotta get rid of Luol Deng, and the only way to get rid of Deng is to give Lonzo away. Like I don't know what the Lakers have to do for their cap situation, but if they need, if they're in need of a point guard, that might be a destination for him.
I wouldn't see. I think if they're going star hunting like that, they would be looking for a 3-and-D guy, and that's not Gorn.
Okay, fair.
But doesn't Gorn only have 1 year left on that contract?
I think two.
Wasn't.
I mean, if we think he's going to opt in, then he has two, right?
Yeah, and he has a player option after next year.
Yeah, so okay. I imagine he'll opt in. I think he'll probably be hard to move because Miami probably won't get anything fair in return. Because, I mean, he is a productive player.
It's a fair point.
I think kind of what this series showed, though, and it's kind of what we were saying, like, even since last year, like, they need a wing scorer. Like, they need a Gordon Hayward. They need someone at that 3/4 position that is a reliable offensive go-to guy. And they don't have that.
Well, LeBron's coming back.
So. Well, yeah, and Kawhi. The Kawhi-a-thon.
Oh, and now, see, that's just overkill.
Oh, is it? You know what's funny is that my sister listens to Levitard with me because we both go to work together. And Stugatz was talking about like the dream team of like Melo and Kawhi and the banana boat. And she just turns to me. She goes, I don't know anything about basketball, but I know all those names. Therefore, this sounds way too ambitious for anything. And I was like, you would be correct.
Now, Melo's looking like a minimum player. So you might fit.
Melo's terrible. Yo, that Thunder team. I mean,
It hurts to watch Donovan Mitchell. I just have to say it out loud again. One pick away, y'all.
That one hurts.
At least we're not the Blazers, man. Because there's a Blazers beat podcast right now that is like a funeral. Like, ours is pretty fucking bad. Like you guys, like, really, like, we have been depressed sounding. Like,
have
you
just, we?
I think we have. Like, you and Nakia sound all chipper all the fucking time. Me and Lafer. Me and Lafer pissed. Like, dude, I was so angry yesterday. Like, you guys know in the chat, I probably pissed everybody off. I don't care. But yeah, I was drunk and angry walking around Fort Lauderdale Beach trying to find guys that look like TJ McConnell to fight.
So all of them. Man.
Yeah, basically. I was at Elbow Room, like, just throwing hands, just for whoever looked. They had that douchey Philadelphia 76er haircut. I think I beat up a guy who looked like Dario Saric, whatever his name is.
That guy spits so much when he's running down the court, like jawing. Like, they get the close up and he has like saliva flying everywhere. I was like, dude, it's
I think gross. That may be a functional thing with his lips or whatever.
Oh, right? Is it?
No, it's because he's a goofball. That's
oh, I thought it was like a mouth guard situation.
Team is a bunch of goofballs with bad haircuts.
No, they all have bad haircuts. Yo,
can I just go on record and saying that I hate that team? I hate them.
Embiid is such that I'm telling you, I don't care what anybody says. That sloppy sumbitch. Every time he's driving to the basket, he's just like running into people full force, foul on Tyler Johnson. Like, what? The 7 foot 300 pound guy just barreled through the whole lane. Okay, foul on us. They want to make that guy a superstar so fucking bad. And those announcers, anytime fucking Joel ties his shoes, oh, look at him. He tied his shoes properly. Woo! Like, it's so ridiculous. Like,
you're not watching to some be sports?
Fair, Hassan can't keep do
going,
that. So.
Keep going. No, Alf, keep going, please.
Because really, the who they should be talking about is Saric. Like, that's the dude kicking our ass up and down. Like, Embiid is not the one killing us. Saric is killing us.
Simmons.
Goofy bastard, but freaking Embiid, I'm telling you, they are pumping up Embiid so hard. Like, oh, he's so funny, he's on Instagram. Motherfucker, I'm on Instagram. Who gives a shit? Oh, I'm so mad about this. I've been trying to be calm this whole time. I'm professional. Fuck this dumb bullshit.
Yeah, I hate the Sixers, but yeah. I'd rather have their roster.
We're here.
All these alt-right haircuts, man. Oh.
The Ilyasova haircut is the worst. Like, I'm so like that. I hate being beaten by a guy with that hair.
If they give you a team picture of the Sixers and just took out all the black guys, it's an all right rally. it's give them all tiki torches.
TJ McConnell's a leader.
JJ Redick is a leader. Come on, you could see JJ Redick up in like a sweater vest on a podium, like talking about Mexicans and Jews and blacks. Like, you could see this happening.
TJ McConnell stepped out of bounds in the game yesterday and he went to yell at somebody. And I think he like looked up and he realized that it was Covington or one of them tall cats. And he shut his mouth real quick and turned around and looked at
Yo, where's Sark? Let me yell at him.
That hair was a result of a lot of swirlies in the Sixers bathroom.
It's got to hurt Riley because, like, literally they had a deal worked out for Bellinelli, if I understand it correctly. And obviously they pulled the trigger on the Wade thing and they had circled back trying to get that done. And it didn't get done, if I remember correctly. And now he's sending us home.
Leif, I don't want Bellinelli. I don't want a world where I have to root for Marco Bellinelli.
That's true.
It's okay. They can have him.
I'd rather lose.
I'd rather lose. Like, I already have to root for Kelly Olynyk, and I don't like that. But, you know, I don't want a world where I have to root for that neckbeard.
Do you think we did a weird thing where we got physical, and that was like our play to try to get even in this series where we have less talent, and we essentially we schemed Olynyk off the floor, and it was our own doing?
Yo, Olynyk's the guy who's there. Olynyk's the dirtiest guy on the team. Like, get his ass in there.
I picture him as the physical guy that you play in a physical series, but somehow we arrived at a place yesterday where he had, what, 8 minutes or whatever?
Well, because the other guy who plays his position is more physical, and he's a lot scarier.
Yeah.
Like,
JJ's been good.
Yo, hold on.
I know you guys hate JJ, but JJ's been good.
No, JJ's, I mean, listen.
JJ's been fine.
That's been like a problem, and I don't know how real we want to get right now, but it's kind of like been a thing where, like, I like JJ's when he plays good basketball, but also he has, you know, some things in his past, like the domestic violence stuff, that you're just like, I'm a little uncomfortable rooting for you, but you're playing really well, and, like, we're romanticizing how violent you are, and, like, it comes from a dark place, and... You know, it's kind of like, honestly, like, it's like a kind of push pull with him that it's like, it's a very weird watching experience because he's been stellar. Like, he's been needed.
Dude, it's awesome that I've been trying to pull us out of the doldrums and you put us right back in there.
I felt like I needed to say it. I felt like I needed to say it.
Finally, like,
that
laughing.
Man changed his life. Yo, leave him alone, dog.
We're laughing, we're smiling, and then you bring up domestic violence.
Disclaimer.
Great job.
Disclaimer. Great because Leif is like, I know y'all don't like JJ.
I'm going to block out your count again.
We're talking about basketball, man.
Oh, we do? Oh, I mean, he's a... Okay.
I'm already changing the password.
You're going to lock him out again.
Yo, Brian almost crumbled yesterday at the end of that game.
Yo, Brian...
The Sixers almost eliminated Miami Heat beat.
Dog, breaking I was news. Losing it. Dog, you lost... Like, I was gone, dude. Like, 8 minutes left in the fourth, I was like, this is over. It's done. It's all over for Miami. Everything's over for Miami. Like, I was... Stephen A. Smith in 2010, I was shook. Everything scared me. I was like, yeah, we're not, it's going to be a 20-point loss at home. I was done.
No, it was cool. Like, the Heat fans are mourning and miserable and G's on the account. That was fun.
It was fun. Crap right Come now. On, dog. How are you going to tell me that wasn't fun?
Anime account with that crap.
How are you going to, listen, okay, I understand it was probably tone deaf of me to talk
Super.
About.
Super. Yes.
How, okay, no, I admit, I'm wrong. I'm there. I'm wrong. I tweeted out of the account after the game how much fun that was despite the loss. But also, I mean, it was fun. I mean, how alive
did
you
feel? It's
just
bad timing.
It was bad
timing. I actually agree with you, G. Like, I agree with you. That was a fun-ass game.
No, you're right. But you're absolutely right. I was wrong. I apologize to Heat fans and to my staff and to Brian, even though I was locked out and I made off-brand Heat Beat MIA. Follow that account. If you want a t-shirt.
Did you delete that yet?
No. Hashtag, if you want a free shirt, listen, I have a ton of Heat Beat shirts that I'm going to give away. Hashtag free Johnny. Tweet that out and you'll be entered to win in a raffle. I'll give one shirt away.
Give away this Hassan jersey that's hanging next to me right now. Please tell me.
Leif is like, get this out my house.
People that wanted, yes. I haven't picked a winner yet, but we're going to pick someone.
Pick a damn winner. Pick a loser.
I want to pick Justice and Jordy. I want to pick Justice and Jordy because his review, like every line, the first letter spelled out Justice better.
No, he can't win. He can't win because it's not actually official. He never sent the actual review.
Oh, he never sent the review?
No.
Well, Justice and Jordy, what the hell are you waiting for?
It's not in there, so therefore he's not eligible to win.
Oh, okay. Well, guys, listen, we have a Hassan jersey to give away. It's signed. Send us a 5-star review on whatever podcast app you have. Screenshot it, send it to @MIAHeatBeat on Twitter, and we're going to be giving away a Hassan jersey. And maybe if there's a lot of really funny, creative reviews, maybe we might give some t-shirts away too, because I have a ton right here. and we'll mail them out to you. So send those in, follow the account, and you can follow all of us and all the nonsense that we do around here.
I got some free second round playoff tickets as well.
Yo, if let me tell you, if we were hashtag 7-seed till we bleed, we might be like the Bucks right now, tied 2-2 with the Celtics, and you know, we had to beat the damn Raptors.
Yeah, then we could have been tied Terry 2-2 Rozier. With the Six. Yeah, we'd be watching Rozier do step back threes in our face, and that would hurt. So, spoonful of medicine. It is what it
is. Dog, I mean, the Celtics are us. Like, they don't have anybody either. Like, they're depending on Rozier, and we depend on Goran. Like, yeah, you know, whatever. Same thing.
No.
Not us. When Dwayne walked off the court yesterday, I saw someone took video of it, and he kind of paused, and he
we're not doing down. This.
He looked like that was the last time he was walking off the floor. Nah, y'all.
Dwayne has guts because we're both like, listen, on Tuesday, there's gonna be a fire because we are burning some damn boats. They're winning that game. I don't think Miami is anywhere near as good as the Sixers. I do think they'll jank a game out there. I think they're going to go in there and they're going to do a bunch of nonsense and they're going to win by 2 points and we're coming back here to lose in game six.
There's going to be a melee and like 10 guys are getting suspended. That's how we're going out, baby.
Yo.
That's what's up. Let's do it.
Did you see Spoelstra? Because like that during that James Johnson Covington altercation, Spoelstra ran over to JJ and was literally trying to peel JJ off of Covington, and JJ was like, dog, he was not moving. Goran, there's a funny vine of like when Goran falls, he's about to get up to handle it, and then he sees JJ, and then he kind of just relaxes. JJ got this. I don't gotta do anything. That sequence,
I want JJ to knock Embiid out so bad. I would love to see that cage match.
Leif, if Udonis was 5 years younger, how
send
fun.
Him in now,
dude.
Yeah, Juwan, send Juwan in a suit.
So, you know that moment in the fourth quarter when Spoelstra had JJ at the five, and then, like, after two possessions, he goes, no, not going to work, because Ilyasova was just rebounding all over the place. He put Bam in. Literally two possessions later, he's like, I changed my mind, going Hassan. That was so funny.
Yeah, that rebounding was killing us, though.
Oh, my God. But hold on, wait a second.
Always had a bad series.
Let me tell you something. I love Spo, and I'll stand Spo all the time. I don't know what the fuck he was thinking. He chose Bam over Hassan. And I was like, on no planet is this a good idea. And like, he realized very quickly.
You know the analogy where they say if you have more than one quarterback, you have no quarterback. Yeah. I kind of feel like if you're going 10, 11 deep in the playoffs, that means you don't have eight solid guys, guys that you really feel good about. And that has that complicated. I'm always switching around the rotation. Different guys are playing. Nobody has steady minutes aside from, the top guys. I feel like that has finally shown itself to be the challenge in these late game situations where we've got guys that, from game to game, you don't know what to expect. And it shows in the way, Spo's been outcoached by Brett Brown, and Brett Brown went into the fourth quarter. I think like they had him mic'd up, and he said, we got him right where we want him. We just need to get this down to five. And I'm watching the third quarter end, and I'm thinking, okay, well, they didn't get it down to five, and then that fool hits a damn three, and they got it down to four, and it's like, they went back to the bench, and Brett Brown is like, see, we even got 1 point closer than I said we needed to get.
But has he outcoached Bo, or does he just have better players? Literally, we can talk about the coaching all we want, but hit some fucking free throws. Like, hit some fucking free throws. Get some fucking rebounds. Like, Ilyasova is not 7'2". Like, let's stop. Like JJ should be able to box out Ilyasova. Like, we can say, oh, he should have had Hassan in. You don't have to bring Hassan Whiteside in to box out Ilyasova. Like, nobody's game planning for Ilyasova except for us because we don't have good players. Like, stop blaming Spo. It's not his fault. Like, for the fact that he has to look around his bench to find a resolution for Ilyasova is the whole fucking problem with this team. All right? Like it's not Bo's fault. Like, oh, shit, Ilyasova's killing us. Who do I go to? If that's your problem, let's just fucking go home. Like, call it a fucking series. And that's the problem. It is the problem. And I think it's the same thing Leif is saying. I have, second-guessed Bo a lot. You're right, dude, when he's going 12 feet, like, that means he's running out of fucking options. Like, at some point, like when you're like, man, we need more Rodney Magruder.
Hashtag for Rodney.
Dog, Dwayne went up for a dunk.
Oh, and no.
He completely missed the rim. Yo, like he
hit that, like, that little buffer between the rim and the backboard.
He didn't even get blocked by the rim, like the whole sprite thing.
He got up high enough.
He like kind of like missed the whole basket and then came down and he acted like he got fouled, but then kind of realized that he didn't get fouled and he just went up. And that's a microcosm of this team. We are going up for the dunk. We are looking good as we're going to the rim. We get to the launching pad, baby. But then if we lose the five.
He legit Joel Anthony'd it.
He did. No. It was not great.
Nikias, I know that you've talked a bit about like the Brent Brown stuff. Can you you feel like Brown has coached Spo to a push? I'm curious as to, because I disagree. But I'm curious as to what you think.
I just think that he's made all the necessary adjustments to push Spo into a corner. And you know, so he does have a talent advantage. But I also think that some of the decisions that Spo has made with the rotation and with lineups in general have been questionable at best. Like, if you're going against a spacing lineup, or when Philly goes to their all-length lineup, I just don't see the reason of having Wade and Bam and JJ and Justice on the floor at the same time when Philly, their whole game plan is to sink the paint, shrink the floor. So to play four non-shooters at the same time, you can't do that. There was the point in game, I think game three, where Goran Dragic is on the bench for way too long. Like, that's something that could be easily corrected. Not going to Olynyk in those offensive situations late in the game in game four. Like, that can't happen when you know what you need. I mean, Spo is definitely in the corner because the team just is not as good as Philly. So you can't crush Spo, and I'm not going to crush Spo. But I do feel like there are decisions that he can make or could have made that he has not gone to for whatever reason.
Something that I think forces his hand a bit, and it kind of plays into what Leif was saying about, like, you know, they don't really have like a deep, is that I think all these guys that they have are really flawed. Like, they're kind of incomplete players. Like, Olynyk is like this really good offensive player, but you're scared to put him out there because he'll get torched by Embiid. Or you have a guy like, you know, Wayne Ellington, who's getting killed and leveled on screens, and you want him in for the offense, but now you're scared because, you know, he can't defend anyone. Right. And like, you have Dwayne, who's like this, you know, great guy, but he can't shoot the ball, so he can't space. So if you have him and Bam out there, and you have Bam, who was Joel Anthony for a couple games, who couldn't even make a layup point blank. And like, you have all these guys that are like super imperfect, and like, they have glaring weaknesses, and particularly like shooting wise. So like what you're saying, you put up these lineups with Dwayne and Bam, and like, you're just like, we don't have enough shooting on the floor, but we still need like these people to play make because we don't have anything. So it's like, you have like, if you can like combine a couple of these guys, you'd have good basketball players, but instead you're with like these kind of like, they're almost like incomplete. Like, it was loading at 85 and then like the rest of the skills never, you know, updated.
Yeah, that's fair. I said, it's a little bit of both for me. That's why I'm not trying to say
exposed. I think your analysis is totally fair. I think what you were saying in game three, how they would not even run punch sets or anything to get Hassan an easy post up, like, that, and part of that is Hassan, and TNT was going over that in the halftime show. Shaq was showing like how Hassan's not rotating to the ball, like he's on the weak side of the ball, and Hassan's not helping you on the weak side. Like, he has to find the strong side of the ball. So like, part of this is on Hassan.
He's hurt. He has to be hurt. Some of the videos that like Nikias and Rob Slater were putting out there, he can't move.
Wes Goldberg had a good thread about just like Hassan not moving.
He can't move. Like, he can't
move. I think there's something wrong. I don't know if it's hurt or if it's mental health, or I don't know what's going on, but like, that was not normal. And I'm not just going to say that guy doesn't care, because that's not something I'm willing to do. It seemed so overtly like something's wrong. I don't know what, but something's wrong.
At the trade deadline, Jeff Schwartz, I think is what his agent's name is, I heard that he went to the front office and said, play Hassan or trade Hassan. Point blank, those are the options. Obviously, Spo didn't get that memo because we went the rest of the season with inconsistent minutes all the way up until yesterday. And I think that you're just seeing a culmination of a guy who is over it. He doesn't want to be here anymore. I saw, you know, right at the beginning of the game, I think Goran was screaming at Hassan about getting back on a defensive assignment.
Got beat down by a Amir Johnson.
Correct. Yeah, that's the exact play I'm talking about. So I think just overall, you're seeing guys are just worn out by each other. They're done having these conversations. They're done having Manny Navarro up in their face talking about why is Hassan's effort not like that was supposed to be. So I think that like this is just the end of the road for these cats, and that's it for him, man. They need to move on, and I hope they do it on draft night.
I want to make one point before, because we still have to play some of our Five Reasons podcast promos that we haven't gotten to. But I do want to make one point on, you mentioned Amir Johnson. Philly is plus net rating with Amir Johnson on the floor. And to me, like, a couple things stand out from this series, like numbers-wise. If you're outscoring the Heat with Amir Johnson on the floor, that is inexcusable. They need to punish those minutes. Like, do you guys remember when, like, Indiana in, like, the big 3 years would play DJ Augustine? And they literally could not survive the DJ Augustine minutes. They had to get George Hill back out there because Miami said, no, you are not going to play that guy. That I'm going to render that person unplayable.
Evan Turner, too.
Evan Turner, like they would hard. They made that poor guy's life miserable. He probably still has nightmares to this day. And Miami has not done that with Amir Johnson. And if you're going
to
let. I know, but
we
like.
We don't have the means to punish anybody. We're like a
parent.
But
that's the
belt,
insane
bro,
part. Like, you can't punish Amir Johnson minutes?
I guess that was one of the things that kind of bugged me earlier in the series with guys when they had like Amir Johnson or TJ McConnell off the floor. They're running sets for their shooters and like none of the bigs are hedging off or nobody's helping off of McConnell. We didn't really see that change until game three. So I don't know if with something like that, I'm not sure if it's execution or if that's Spo not kind of hammering
Spo,
the details.
No, Spo is an abuela with no chocolate, all right? He has no weapons. He can't punish nobody.
Mira. Oye, mira.
Oh, my God. Brian, promo us.
Hey, Chris, why don't you tell the people about the Balls Cast?
Don't mind if I do.
Don't mind if I do.
Hey, listen up. The Balls Cast is a podcast about Miami sports.
All kinds of Miami things. Hold on.
Culture and politics. While two dudes smoke weed and sometimes drink a little bit of, you know. But mostly smoking and a lot of talking. It's a good time, Balls Cast. So you guys should check it out.
I'm going to pass out, man. Oh, no, I really am.
Don't pass out.
That may have been the strangest promo I've ever heard in my life. It was Balls Cast. Check it out on the Five Reasons Podcast Network.
Yeah.
I thought we were disorganized.
That was something.
Yo, Slim, Chris Joseph, they're good dudes. Follow them on Twitter. Like, they're good, man. They're good dudes. They do a fun show. It's a little strange. And if you want to hashtag, let's get weird, you know, check them out. Cause it's different and it's not something that you'll get other places. And, they're legitimately like good guys. So check that out. Brian, we have another one to play.
We're doing something a little different on the Five Reasons podcast. Until the Miami Heat are eliminated, Ethan and I will do review preview episodes after every game of the Heat's run in the NBA playoffs.
It's a broken record with Dwayne where every time you think he's done, he turns in a performance like this, and he's doing it in that jersey. What were the odds in the summer of 2016 that we would ever see A, Dwayne Wade do this in a playoff game again, and B, do it for the Miami Heat?
We're trying to do them straight after the game's end and post overnight. So subscribe to the Five Reasons podcast on iTunes or Google Play and follow along as the Heat go through the NBA playoffs.
You can follow the network on Twitter at the number five Reasons Sports. So the number five Reasons Sports on Twitter, and there you can get, you know, all the feeds and all the updates from Balls Cast, 3 yards per carry, Heat Beat, the Five Reasons flagship show on the network. So we're about running out of show. I guess I want to briefly touch on Dwayne, because I think yesterday, you know, Leif alluded to it, maybe the last time, you know, he plays on the Heat's home court. And he, like, you know, they're talking, you know, Ethan's like, it's like a broken record with Dwayne, like, you know, you don't know how many he has. And he did it for you again, man. Like, when the chips were down and they had nothing, it's, as Bomani Jones says, throwing out them jacks, man. Like, he I don't know how he does it, dude, but he gets that and one, and I'm clapping, and my hands are red, and they're callous, and I'm hoarse from, like, Dwayne Wade again, late in a playoff game against a clearly superior team. Like, got the Heat with the jaws of life and brought them to the finish line to make it winnable.
Farewell tour for the culture. Come on, let's do it.
Oh man, he needs to come back another year. Like, I can't.
Can you imagine? I'm that cat on Twitter that's like, we're retaining flexibility for. That's why we're letting Dwayne walk. We need the flexibility. And now I'm sitting here 2 years later, and I'm like, farewell tour, Dwayne Wade for the culture.
Let's go. Yo, like,
no, he legit. First of all, he has a lot left. Correct. Well, not a lot, but he has plenty left.
On that dunk, he didn't have much left.